Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
And so in our passage of scripture, we're catching up with Paul and Silas. And Paul, if you don't know who he is, if you're not familiar with him, he was a convert to Christianity from an extreme version of being Jewish. And his life was radically transformed. He was actually a persecutor and a murderer of Christians, but God changed his life. And so he's on a mission journey, and he's going with a guy named Silas. And they're in Rome. And as they're in Rome, the Bible says that they're walking along the road, and for 3 days, a demon-possessed woman followed behind them. But listen to what she was saying. She was saying, "These are the men of God. These are men of God. These are wonderful men of God." But for 3 days, I don't care how much truth you're saying. If you follow me saying the same thing for 3 days, I'm going to get a little mad too. But it says that her source, though she was saying something that was true, her source was demonic. So Paul turned around and he cast the demon out of that woman. Only thing was, she was a fortune teller. She had the skill of telling fortunes because of the demon that possessed her. So when she was set free, she lost that skill. And she was also a slave of a Roman slave owner. And that was the way that he made his money. And so this Roman slave owner was upset. Somebody say mad. He was mad. And so we had Paul and Silas arrested. And that's where we catch up with them in Acts 16:20. And it says, "And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes." They tore the clothes of Paul and Silas "and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, into the maximum security side, and fastened their feet in the stocks." Ouch. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence that's here right now. And Lord God, we also thank you for the presence, Lord God, of just godly individuals, Lord God, who are able to keep us on fire for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On the way to your seat, high five the person to your left. Somebody's wondering now, which way? The person to your left. And tell them to stoke the fire. Stoke the fire. That's the name of my message this morning. Stoke the fire. We are in the third week of our series 1670. Has this not been a blessing? Come on. It sounded like two people liked it. Hasn't this been a blessing? Pastor Steve has been bringing the house down. And I encourage you, if you missed any part of the series so far, you can log into YouTube, type in Destiny Harvest Church. You can find all of the messages there. And I'm telling you, it has been a blessing to my life. But if this is your first time today, your first time tuning into this series, you're probably wondering, what happened in the year 1670 that they would name an entire sermon series for it? And can I tell you what happened in 1670? Absolutely nothing. Like nothing. Like I'm surprised the world turned in 1670. I checked out a website and I looked up what happened in the year 1670, so just so I could have something to bring, and nothing happened. So what 1670 is? What is this series about? Well, 1,670 degrees is the temperature of the hottest part of a candle flame. And maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you haven't heard it before, but there's this Christian term about being on fire for God. Anybody heard that before? Being on fire for God. And that's just what this series is about. It's about letting the passion of God be so strong and burn so strong in our hearts that we want to see his kingdom in heaven come on this earth. But what I found is that it is hard. It is very difficult to let that fire burn if you are surrounded with people who tend to put that fire out because of either their lack of passion or just they're headed in a different direction. That passion that he's placed on the inside of us, there's a threat against it for whether it's going to burn hotter or whether it's going to be put out. And I found that the people that we surround ourselves with, they do one of two things. They either make that fire burn hotter and burn brighter, or they dampen it. Or maybe some of us, we could think of relationships and the people that we allow to influence our lives. Maybe they're just kind of neutral. You know, they're not on fire for God, but they don't hate God. I mean, they come to church, right? But is that it? Do you find yourself having to feed that flame all the time? Can I just put it to you straight? There are some people in our lives that will either make your passion for God burn bright or they will put the passion out. They will kill the passion in your life. So the question that I have for you today is, who are the people, who are the relationships that you have allowed to influence your life today? Some of us are thinking about it. Our minds started going, who is feeding the flame in my life? Or who is putting out the flame in my life? Because those people who we allow to influence our life, they determine whether or not the fire of God is sustainable. Can I put it that way? They determine whether or not the fire of God is gonna keep going, whether our passion, whether our pursuit of God is gonna go further, or whether our pursuit just cuts off at Sunday. Whether we have a Monday through Friday kind of faith, or whether Sunday after 11:15 service, it's about all of God that that I got. We need people in our lives who are gonna just push us a little bit further. Push us into what God has for us. And I think that's the kind of relationship that even Paul and Silas had with one another. I mean, let's look back. If you look back at the opening scripture, it says that they went into this town and they just went to spread the gospel and the peace of God, but that they were beaten. That they were beaten. That they were stripped of their clothes, that they were beaten, that they were chained at their feet and thrown into jail. And I know that that was a hard time for them. But I could only imagine how much harder it would have been if one of them had decided to do it alone. Often our greatest discouragement doesn't come just because we went through a storm, but because we've gone through a storm alone. I'm reminded of one particular storm in my life where a friend of mine was a victim of gun violence. And I just remember how kind of hopeless the feeling was that those first couple of days that my friend isn't coming back and going through it. But I can tell you what got me through that season was knowing that I had people who I could call and people who I could lean on in that time to say, hey man, it gets better. People that I could lean on just to be a shoulder to cry on. And it's not so much that I went through a storm that was discouraging, but I can only imagine how much worse it would have been if I went through that storm by myself. But for so many of us, we find ourselves in that situation, traveling the tough and the rough and the tumultuous roads of life alone. And we find ourselves in that situation because maybe some of us, and I know I've been here before, are just too busy. Too busy to make real friends, too busy to cultivate true godly relationships. I mean, because I'm working, right? I'm building something. I'm grinding. Yeah. And be working so hard. Sometimes we're working so hard, then we look up and realize there's no one that even cares about what I'm building. I don't have anybody here to talk to about it. Some of us, we're not too busy. It's just that we've tried this friendship. We've tried this relationship thing before, and talk about a fire. We've been burned by people who have let us down and by people who have just been a little unreliable. And it's hard. It's just hard. In Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says, "Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." I like the way that the New Living Translation puts it, actually. It puts it real simple. It says, someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Like, you're just, like, dude, you're in trouble. Like, you need to do something. You're in trouble. Some of us, it's not that we're too busy or that, you know, we don't trust anybody. It's just that we surround ourselves with the wrong people. Can I be honest? Some of us have some dumb friends. Don't be offended. I've had dumb friends. In fact, I was thinking about a story about a dumb friend that I was going to tell. But then I realized the only stories I could think of was where I've been the dumb friend. And I'm not sure of the statute of limitations in Maryland, so I figured I'm not going to tell that story quite yet. But it's so true. We surround ourselves with people who are not going where we're going, who are not building what we're trying to build, who are not, they're not headed where we're headed. But we connect ourselves to them and we allow them to speak into our lives because of loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty. I knew the service would get that because we're a little wretched, but I love it. But we surround ourselves with people and we allow them to speak into our lives because they've been loyal. I remember actually my freshman year of college, and for the sake of this story, I won't name the school, but I remember it was freshman week. And for the first about 2 days in my male freshman dorm, they did a lot of like team building and they made us feel like brothers, like we are connected, like these are my dudes, I will ride for them, like these are my guys, right? And all in 48 hours. These are my brothers though now, right? So night three rolls around and they come up to me, hey Trent, we're about to go to a party, you rolling? Yeah, I'm rolling. Bro, brother, who I've known for 48 hours. Yeah, I'm rolling. Who's driving? Now, I went to school in the District of Columbia. They don't drive much there because it's so easy to get around. I came up here just being able to drive, but I came in like nobody drives. And then I thought about it too, like we're all freshmen. Nobody has a car. And so I start going through the facts in my mind. We're walking at night in D.C. And mind you, I'm from South Carolina. I'm from the suburbs of South Carolina. And forgive me if you're from D.C., but all that's playing through my head is the crime rate in D.C. But these are my bros, right? Loyalty. It's my brothers. So we set out on the party, and we go to the party. We actually survived the party in a house of someone who I do not know to this day. And as we're exiting the party, it's all good for a minute. It's the big group of people, right, walking out. But then it like gets to one part of the road, and people start dispersing and going to random parts. I was like, oh, my God. I don't know how to get back. Where are my brothers? Where are those people that I, like, who told me, who knew about the party, that the after party that I didn't know about? They start going in different directions, and then I pause. I'm like, this is how it ends. This is it. This is the end of Trenton. It's over from here. I was able to find one guy from my dorm, and we became fast friends. You hear me? And we made it back. What am I saying? So much for loyalty.
And maybe you heard that story and you can laugh because you're a little further along in life. A lot of us are past that freshman year point. But I bet you can still think of someone who you are loyal to, who you probably don't need to have a relationship with. I'm telling you, this is true whether you are 16 or 65. A lot of our loyalties are in the wrong place. Whatever happened to being loyal to the one who died for us, to the one who gave his life for us and got up again? He didn't just rise with power, but he gave us the power. The Bible says that the same power that rose Christ from the dead is alive on the inside of us. I think that's worthy of loyalty. I think that's worthy. That's someone who's worthy of being loyal to. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Why would the Bible tell us to not be deceived if it wasn't easy to be deceived? Well, it's because that we never imagined that the people who we hold so dearly and so close to us, we never imagined that they could be the same people who are extinguishing the fire and the passion for God in our lives. We've become deceived. And I've actually looked at some statistics in preparation for today. And did you know that your income is likely to be within 5%, 10% of your 5 closest friends? Your income. Yeah, I can say that again. Your income is likely to be within 10% of your 5 closest friends. Some of us started going down our contacts list just now. Who am I hanging out with? What are you making? Did you also know that divorces actually happen in pairs? What am I saying? I'm saying that there is someone that you know who's getting a divorce. The chances are they knew someone in their circle who actually made the same decision to end their marriage. I'm even reminded of the lead singer of Linkin Park who not too long ago tragically took his own life. Then as I was reading about it, I read that he actually lost one of his closest friends to suicide not too many months before he committed suicide. What am I saying? Maybe you're not on the verge of suicide, but maybe you're on the verge of giving up on that dream, on that destiny, on that vision that God has placed in your heart. And I'm telling you, unless you surround yourself with some people who are chasing after the vision and the destiny and the vision that God has placed on their hearts, that fire can't be sustained. Am I saying that we have to live in this perfect little Christian bubble with perfect people? No, because you ain't perfect. And I'm not perfect, but we do have to surround ourselves, and we have to allow that we have to have people who are influencing our lives, who know about the joy and the passion of God, who know and can stoke the flame. Now, in between services, I had a good friend of mine come to me and tell me that he actually didn't know, he's from California, didn't know, like, what does stoke mean? Like, I've never set a fire. And so what is stoking a flame? That's just poking it a little bit with the little thing just to get it burning, just to keep the fire burning a little bit. Don't we need people like that in our lives? Who are just poking us a little, like, man, you're getting a little lazy. Like, get up, do something. Don't we need people to say, hey, man, I haven't heard you talk about that dream that you mentioned to me last month. I haven't heard you mention anything about it. Are you still doing that? We need those kind of people in our lives who are holding us accountable. That's a good place to say amen. So here's what I found. We need people that have these three character traits, these three qualities. We need to surround ourselves with people who have these three qualities. And the first quality that we need to have in people who are influencing our lives are people who can sustain motion. People who can sustain their motion. Picture this. You're driving on the interstate and everything is all good, but you come to this slowdown. I don't know if you're one of those super spiritual people who just start praying for the accident that's surely ahead. Like, God, let them be okay. God, let them be okay. And then that flesh starts to rise up a little bit, and you say, now there better be an accident. Like, it better be bad, for as slow as this traffic is moving, there better be an accident. And then you move up a little further, and you realize that it was just somebody in front who was rubbernecking and looking at an accident on the other side of the interstate that we're not even on. What are you doing? Or better yet, maybe you're in traffic and everything is moving really good. Everybody's moving at about the same pace except for that one person who's going 20 miles below the speed limit. What are you doing? Slowing everybody. Do you not have anywhere to go? Why are you here? I'm sorry, this is a little thing. I'm going to take that to Jesus at the end of the service. But what I found and what's true, whether in traffic or in life, is that your life will move at the rate of the slowest person in your lane. Who's in your lane? How are they moving? Some of us, we know people, or we've even been people, that we're moving, we're just moving really slow. And it's not that we're incompetent or that we're unable to move any further or any faster. It's just that we're not living life with intentionality. We're not plotting out, I'm going to take this step or I'm going to take that step. We're just trying to get there by luck. And I'm telling you, it doesn't happen that way. Some of us know people who are going so hard after the vision and the destiny that, yes, God has placed in their heart, but they're moving in an unhealthy pace. They're moving really fast. You ever seen somebody that's driving like that? They're just driving. They clearly have somewhere to go. And they're just weaving in and out of traffic. And I may speed sometimes. Forgive me. But I don't weave in and out of traffic. It's like, dude, if you don't slow down, you are going to crash. Some of us live our lives that way. Just we haven't set up the proper boundaries. God called us to rest sometimes, so we can have the energy and the passion to keep on going, but we move too fast, or we know people who do that. And then there are those people, I know none of them are in this room, they're just driving the wrong way. Like the big red wrong way sign of life is, and it's like, a crash is inevitable. Like, it's coming. Just going the wrong way. It matters. It matters how we pursue that vision and that passion. And so what you need is this. You need people who are pursuing the will of God for their lives with wisdom and with consistency. I can be wise about these moves. I'm wise about when to rest. I'm wise about when to hit it hard. But I'm also wise about keeping it moving. Because it can be hard to keep it moving. And it's one thing to keep it hard or to keep it moving when life gets hard. But what about when God tells you no? Listen to this. Earlier in our passage of scripture in Acts 16, 6 through 8, it says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. It wasn't a hardship, it wasn't a war, it wasn't a demon. It said that the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia at that time. Interesting. And it says, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Now, it takes a very special person to get after what God has called them to build, to go and to pursue it with everything that they have. But it takes a whole nother type of person to pursue the vision and the destiny that God has placed in your heart. But when you realize, or when he says that something that you had in your heart is not lining up with where I want you to be, it takes a special person to say, okay, I'll try somewhere else. Anybody ever got a no from God? But then he didn't say where to go. It's like, I heard you. You said no, not her, but who?
I heard you. You said, no, not this state for the job, but where? Can we be honest for a second? Have you ever felt that God was being unclear?
What if it wasn't so much God being unclear, but it was just that the fire for seeing God's will in our life wasn't burning hot enough?
Paul and Silas, they got the no from God and they tried somewhere else. They got the no and they tried somewhere else and there was no no there, so they just kept on going. You need some people in your life who are going to tell you, okay, you got a no, try there. Okay, you got a no here, okay, try there. Keep on going, keep on going. But I'm telling you, that doesn't happen in a silo. That doesn't happen by yourself. It happens when you get into relationship with some people who are heading somewhere, who are building what God called them to build. In fact, there's a blessing commanded on relationships like that. In Psalms 133, verse 1 and 3, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." There's a blessing commanded on relationships like that. I'm reminded of a connect group that I was pleasured to host last semester. I just love getting around some other men of God who are building something, or even who have the desire to build something. I learned so much in hosting. And as we were talking one night, and we were doing what happens in connect groups, just kind of taking off the mask. Because, you know, everybody has a mask. You've got a mask. I've got a mask. All God's children have a mask. And you don't see everything that's going on in my life right now. But I'm telling you, we all need somebody who we can go to let me take off my mask for a second and show you what's in here. To show you what's going on in my life. So we were talking that night, and there was this one guy in particular who, man, just an awesome guy, just doing really well for himself, a great job. But as we were talking and everything, we realized that there's just something that's just kind of slowing the car down. I feel like the check engine light in life was on. And it's like there's just something I feel like just holding me back. And as we were talking, we realized that he had never given his life to Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, right there that night, we prayed that prayer of faith. And he accepted Jesus into his heart, and his life will never be the same again. And I'm believing that there's just so much success and power that he's going to experience in his life. But what am I saying? Does the salvation promise success? No. Surprising. But what am I saying? That there is no success outside of Jesus. There's no success worth having. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose his soul? So how do I find people like that? How do I find people who are in motion? Get in motion about building what God has called you to build. I feel like it's kind of like Noah, who's like, God called him to build something that had never been built before, for an occurrence that had never occurred before. Question to you is, what are you building? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? And I promise that as you get in motion, you're going to look up one day and you're going to see some people running beside you. It might even be your spouse. Somebody said amen. It might even be just a close friend that sticks beside you for the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, we all need those types of relationships, of friendships. So get about motion. The second thing, or the second quality that these people should have that are speaking into our lives, is that they should be people who stick close. Can I tell you something? Everybody is not committed to you in every stage of life that you'll go through. Hate to break it to you, but everybody is not for you like you think they are. In fact, Paul and Silas were not even supposed to be with one another. Silas was not supposed to be on this trip with Paul. Paul actually got in an argument with another one of the disciples, Barnabas, over a guy named John Mark. Because John Mark, he was with them for a while, but when things got tough, when the tough got going, John Mark could not handle it. And he fell off. And so Paul and Barnabas, they go at it because Barnabas still wanted to include John Mark. But Paul knew two things. He knew that, one, I can't do this journey alone. And he knew, two, that I can't do this journey with unreliable people. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice it says that unreliable friends, plural, and there's a reliable friend, singular, that sticks closer than a brother. What am I saying? It's hard to find reliable people. And it's even harder to find them because I only attract who I am. And so many of our relationships are based on convenience. Like, sure, you're my brother, right? You live in my dorm. I saw how that failed. Or sure, you're my brother, right? No, like, you're literally my brother. We came from the same womb. We have the same blood. And that's just all our relationships are built off of. So the question then becomes, if we're looking for people who are going to stick close, who are you sticking close to? Who are you sticking by? Who can count on you in their time of trouble? Who are you kind of doing life with? There's, and some of us, we have those people who, they're committed to us. They're real friends. We can say that, man, we have a good group of friends. We're not all just lonely and looking for people. But I have these people, they're committed to me. They love me. But only thing is, they're committed to you and they love you, but they're not committed to God. And can I tell you that that's just as bad? That's like somebody saying to me that they're committed to me, but they're not committed to my wife. Imagine that. Picture it for a second. Trent, what's up, man? You good? You chilling? You good? It's so good to see you, Diane. How poisonous is that? If you call yourself committed to me, but you're not committed to my wife, who is my pursuit, by the way, then you're not committed to me at all. Likewise, if we call ourselves committed to God and committed to what God has called us to build, and we have people in our lives who are not committed to him, we're going to miss each other. There's no way that they can stick close. It's just not going to happen because our sources are different. Our sources are different. I'm trying to cook with hot oil and you cooking with an easy bake oven. Come on. Ask your neighbor, what are you cooking with? Better yet, who are you cooking with? Because it matters. Is it somebody who knows about the joy of Jesus, or is it someone who is just going to make a little pity party for you when you get down? Huh? So you need people who are in motion, and this person also has to be able to stick close to you. And the last trait that you need are people who have excess joy. They have an excess of joy. They have more than enough joy. I'm saying that they're not just people who see the light at the end of the tunnel. There are people who can make some light at the end of the tunnel. I'm telling you, they'll get some rocks and crack them together with some hay to make some fire and throw it. Say, hey, look, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. What am I saying? I'm saying you need some people who don't see what is, just as this isn't the end. I've been somewhere with God before, and I know that the sufferings of my right now can't be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. Come on, don't give up yet. I see the light. I see this is not it. In Acts 16:25, no, you don't have to put it up yet. But I love this particular passage of scripture.
because it talks about the joy that Paul and Silas had, even though they were beaten. They were stripped and beaten without measure. In the Jewish law, there was a number of times that you could beat a prisoner. There was not that in the Roman law. Beaten, chained at the feet. But in Acts 16:25, it says, but around midnight. Can I be an old Baptist preacher there for a second? It says around midnight, around the darkest part of the day, around the deepest part of the depression, around the bottom of the pit for a lot of us, when it seems like there is no more hope left. It says that around midnight that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is. Name of Jesus. With the scars still on their backs and on their legs and on their arms. They're praying and singing hymns to God. And in fact, it says that the other prisoners were listening. What is that sound in there? What are these songs that they're singing? And then it says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. I'm telling you, you need to go through life with some people who know that what's in front of me is not all that there is. Some people who know that eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and neither has it even entered into the heart of man what God has in store. You need some people who know how to find joy in the middle of the trial, in the middle of their chains. And Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In other words, don't sulk. Don't stay in your tears. You've got to cry for a second, cry, and then keep it moving. It says, make the most of every opportunity. And it says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I'm not so emotionally driven, but God, what do you want me to do here? That door doesn't work. This door doesn't work. What do you want me to do? And then it says, don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. In other words, I need some people in my life who they don't find their joy on external substances. I need some people who can find Jesus. It said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. What am I saying? Do I have to be able to sing to find joy? No, but you do have to be able to find Jesus. I've got to be able to find him in my trial, to find him in my storm. And so maybe you're here today and you don't know how to find Jesus. And can I tell you that that's okay? That's completely okay. Get around some people who can. Get around some people who have been through it before and who can hold your hand, who can hold your arm through it and say, hey, come on, let's keep going. This isn't it. This isn't it. Keep walking. Keep marching. One of the most fascinating things to me is watching boxing, and it's not so much the fight itself, but it's that corner. It's the corner, right? Because in that corner, they usually have three people in the corner for the boxer. They usually have the head trainer who, you know, they're telling them all the moves. They usually have the assistant trainer who has the water. They're there for refreshing. And then probably the most important position, they have the cut man, who when that eye gets swollen up, they're able to cut it and patch it up so they can see again during the fight. And it's so great watching the fights, because no matter how loud that arena gets, no matter how rowdy it gets in there, you can always hear that corner saying, move, duck, swing, stop blocking with your face.
You can always hear that corner cheering you on. Can I tell you something? We need that kind of corner. If you notice something about those three positions, that they're always the first people who rush the ring when you win the fight, when their boxer wins the fight, and they're the first to raise their hand and say, "My boxer won." They're the first people that, when their boxer loses the fight, they're the first to come into the ring and honestly help them pick their face up off the ground. It's all right. Live the fight another day. They're the first people who, when the judges call a draw, they're the first people to rush that ring and say, "No, my fighter won." They're the first people to fight for you. Can I tell you that those are the kind of people that we need in our corner? People who are going to celebrate with us and make our losses easier. We need people who are in motion. We need people who are going to stick by us. And we need people who have an excess of joy. Only thing is, I'm not all of those things all the time. So how can I expect somebody else to be those things in my life? Can I let you and me off the hook for a second? We're never all of these things all the time. But what we need is a set of people who are, they're going to be on when I'm off. And when they're off, I can be on for them. We need a community of believers who are going to stoke the fire. They're just going to stir up the fire a little bit. Say, "Hey, get back on track. Get back on track with what God has called you to do."
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.